Welcome to the Filthy Spoon Podcast on this Easter Sunday. I'm John. Robert's not here today. He's had some family time, I'm sure, with the holiday. Beautiful day to be outside. Let's get to the sponsors before we get to our cool guests we got here. Willow Creek Custom Calls. Old Brad Jones, man, down there spinning out some great calls. We love the Cali Spec, the Snowblower, his Mallard calls, his innovative Brandt call, all good stuff. Got some really cool stuff coming out. I'm not quite sure what's going to be out, but it'll be out before next season, and you guys are going to be pretty impressed by it. So I know I'm dying to see them live. I've heard about them. I can't tell you the secrets yet, but cool stuff coming. So be sure to look Brad up at willowcreekcustomcalls.com, or you can call him at 510-610-7625. And don't forget, March days, June 1st at CWA's Grizzly Ranch property. Brad Jones will be down there with a booth with us. He's nice enough to put us in his booth, so we'll be down there with him. He'll be down there selling calls. We're going to have T-shirts. We're going to hang out, so come out. It's going to be an awesome time. They're going to be down there banding birds, I think, and it's a great time for kids and old folks and everybody, so be sure to make it down there to that. You can meet Brad in person yourself. So, on a Superior Equipment Repair, Superior Equipment for all your truck equipment needs, big trucks, little trucks, F-150s up to 550s, Peterbilt, Kenworth, Volvo, Detroit. Everything. We work on everything. John Deere. We're getting into harvest season, you farmers. We got a couple ag guys that just came on. So, you know, we're set up for about every type of work can be done. Construction, ag, you know, over-the-road trucks, vacation trucks, tree trucks. You know, we do it all. We got over 20 service trucks. We're all over the North State. So be sure to look up Superior Equipment Repair at superiorequipmentrepair.com or call us at 530-888-0795. Pinto Ridge Taxidermy, old Adam Oliver. We got another name going in the bucket today. Adam Oliver Taxidermy. Look him up on Instagram. He does some awesome birds, beautiful mounts, man. Actually, old Ivan's taken one up to him, Salinas Valley Outdoors, he told me when I seen him at the Freedom Fighters Banquet. Cool guy, and he is giving one of our lucky guests that come on here. We're going to throw a name in the hat, and whoever wins is going to get a free amount of bird of their choice, which will be announced at Duck Days. So if you got one on the freezer, I'd hold on to a little while or wait till next season. Maybe you'll get something you want mounted if you're the lucky winner of a guest that come on here. And last but not least, official Left Coast Waterfowl. The two Jermies. We got the Bro Jermie and the Ginger Jermie. I just got a package in the mail from them, and they were nice enough to send me Jermie's new hoodie with that oak tree camouflage, man. I wasn't able to use it Saturday. It got delivered Saturday, but awesome hoodie. Check out my Instagram store. I got a picture of it up there. Super hoodie. If I were you, I recommend getting one of them. If you're leaning against a tree, it looks like you're part of the tree, man. So, and he has, I don't think it's just a hoodie. He sells a face mask and everything else with that cool, unique camo pattern that he created himself. So pretty cool local guys. They're good dudes. Check them out. And they're also peddling our Filthy Spoon swag. Shirts, hats. You get the traditional logo, drunk duck, square duck, hats, shirts, hoodies, all the regular stuff. So you can find them on Instagram at Official Left Coast Waterfowl or OfficialLeftCoastWaterfowl.com to buy the stuff. And the promo code for them is LCW10. So look them up. And with no further ado, we are in beautiful Durham, California today with Byron Pierce of Durham Guns. How's it going, Byron?
It's going great. Just a couple of heathens sitting up here on Easter.
Yes.
Nothing better to do.
Exactly, yeah. You're not going to have any people beat down your door today. They're probably spending time with their family or maybe out turkey hunting or something. But I've been talking to you for a while on Instagram, and you've been kind enough to carve out a little time to talk to me, and I appreciate the hell out of it, man.
Yeah, sorry. We've been missing each other a few times, but got it done on Easter of all days.
Of all days. Yeah, it works out good, you know. So afternoon, I still have the morning time. I'm actually, when I'm done with this, I'm going to head out on the feather, go do a little turkey scouting with my boy and see what we can come up with.
How'd turkey hunting go yesterday?
Rough yesterday, man. Real rough, to be honest. I hunt in Cool, which is about an hour and a half from where I live in Gridley. And my 12-year-old boy is up visiting for spring break. And, you know, I'll stop by the donut shop in Live Oak, get him a donut. Roll in there. It's about 4 a.m. Roll in there, come out of the truck. He must have hit the button on the truck and locked the keys in the truck. Phone's in there also. It's raining. I don't know anybody's number. I don't know anybody does anymore. So the only logical choice in my mind, I don't have AAA. I didn't have a phone anyway. Well, we're walking home. So it was 5.5 miles to my doorstep down Highway 99. And with my 12-year-old son. And we look like homeless people. He's a young kid. He has long hair like they all do now. I'm in camo overalls and a dark flannel. So I had a big, ugly beard. I look like a bum, too. So here I'm trying to, they don't pick you up like they did in the 90s.
That's too far to walk.
I didn't have much of a choice. So I got home. And after that, the boy's like, yeah, I think I'm going to stay home, Pops. I'm like, well, I'm still going. So I was a little bit late. I didn't show up to my turkey spot till about 7:45. But I had a nice walk in to break my legs in. But I was up there helping my dear friend, old Margo, the gal that owns the property where I hunt. And I needed to help her out anyway. So I was like, I'm going either way. And then when I did get hunting, it just didn't work out. The rain, it was still raining. It was supposed to go away. So no turkey yesterday. Today would have been a lot better day.
Yeah, it's a long season. We haven't snuck out yet either. So we had the juniors last week, and we never made it happen. We never got out. So scheduling conflicts and weather and everything.
Well, I think this is the year that late season is probably going to be better than, a lot of people give up after the first couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this year – They're still kind of acting like dipshits from what I hear and running around. They're not quite chasing the hens yet, not hearing a ton of gobbles. So let's see. It is early, but yeah, that was my exciting opening.
I can't wait to see my kiddos smack one.
Oh, you ain't got one yet?
Not yet. They haven't killed anything. So I got 2 9-year-olds, and I'm excited for them to kill something.
Well, my daughter was 9 when she got her first one, and I'll tell you, that's about the most exhilarating thing you're going to do. I'll never forget that.
We were in the duck blind this year, and they got some shooting, but they didn't kill anything. The last day of the season, it was like 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I called 3 specks, and they landed 25 yards away. And I've got the boy on one side and my daughter on the other side. And these 3 specks just land 25 yards, just perfect, landed. And I'm just like, water swat him. This is perfect. Just you aim here, you aim here. Just aim right in the middle of him. He misses about 3 inches to the right. She misses about 3 inches to the left, and... Oh, just heartbreaking.
I feel your pain. It's very similar story to mine. My daughter, same way. We went out. It was 3 boxes at the youth season, not one duck. Yeah. And then, same year, 9 years old, redeemed herself come turkey season. Yeah. And then from then on, she was running.
Yeah, they're shooting turkey pictures in the backyard like crazy right now, and they've got it dialed in. They think they're ready, so we'll see what they can do.
That's good. Now, that's, as a father, I can't think of much more that people talk about going, graduating high school or college or walking down the aisle for a daughter. No, killing their first whatever is, and guys like us, it's just exhilarating, So.
Yeah. I can't.
I'll keep my fingers crossed for you guys, man.
A buddy of mine just showed me a video of his son killing his first turkey 2 days ago.
Awesome.
The video of it from last weekend. He showed it to me 2 days ago. And I was cracking up because in the video, he's losing his mind because his son just shot his first turkey. And he's a cop also. And he's just like, he's giddy. His voice is cracking. He's just like.
The kid's looking at him like, what the hell?
Yeah, he's just like, the dad just losing his mind. It was awesome. People out of this world, out of this environment, they don't understand that. It's a different level, yeah.
And I'm glad because I'm 46 years old. How old are you?
36.
Okay, so you're a little younger than me.
Just turned 36, actually. Getting old.
Turkeys, they weren't super prevalent. They started to be when I got a little bit older into high school. We had one. I shot one in high school with my older brother. But these kids getting to grow up, I think, is just so cool because it's such a good way to break them into it. The weather's usually good. You can sit them in a tent where they're not moving around.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's awesome that
your kids move around a lot too then, huh?
Oh, yeah. You know that feeling. You better get them in a tent. Yeah, especially with that little.
I'm excited about the tent, yeah. I took the boy out dove hunting this year also, and he could not hold still. And he was talking, and he was building. He was down on the ground building bug houses. He's got, twigs and building little. I'm just like, please stop talking. Please hold still. Then out in the duck blind, both of them are out there. They want to blow on the duck calls. Yeah. They want to.
That's all part of it.
Couldn't hold still. I'm hungry, and you can't as you know, you can't. They're tired. They're cold. It's time to stop. Yeah, you can't. Exactly. You can't push it because then they're ruined to it. They don't want to do it anymore.
And you're ruining for life.
Yep. So yeah, it's just like, okay. Well, that 30 minutes sure went quick. I guess we're done. Yep. Like, time to head back.
It happened. But, yeah, once they get that first kill, yep, and it's, you know, things, yep, will change. You know, yep, hey, well, if you really want to get another one, you're going to have to stay still. And yep, all of a sudden they figure it out. So I wish you luck. Yeah, I was probably about your age when Sharon started shooting stuff. And so, no, it's exciting time for you. And, man, that first kill, that's, yeah, going to be awesome.
But, yeah, the tent is a new level. They can read a book in there.
Well, they do whatever they want. Yeah. Friggin' Game Boy, whatever they want. Yeah, you know. And the turkeys don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen them. I've set them up right in the middle of pasture. They just don't care about them. So
the ultimate youth sport.
Yeah. I know hiding a lot of purists tent. Say it's, you know, oh, that ain't the way to do it. And I hate, don't get me wrong, leaning against the tree. When you're dealing with little kids, that's the way to get them started, you know. So I'll keep my fingers crossed for you guys. Make sure you get that up on the old Instagram machine.
Certainly.
When you get a kill. Yeah. But so anyway, let's talk about how you got into this. This is Durham Guns. You sell guns. Just got a little bit of hunting stuff in here, some fishing stuff. You're born and raised here.
Yeah. So, yeah, Durham Guns and Ammo. I get a phone call probably once a week asking if we sell guns or ammo. And yeah, we do. We sell guns and ammo. We also sell fishing stuff. We have a little bit of gold mining stuff. My partners actually, their business was called Hard Luck Mining. They came on probably about 5 years ago. Really into mining and stuff. It's just kind of a funny name that they had, Hard Luck Mining.
Yeah, that's a lot of mine goes.
He's really into like the ARs and stuff, yeah, and he's a gunsmith as well. So good partner. He was the principal down at LP forever, and really balances me out because he's very by the books.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Pulls me into that a little bit, so that's good. But yeah, so I started this. I was in my garage at my old place 10 years ago, and people would be showing up at my front door at like 8 p.m. It's dark, banging on my door. I don't miss that at all. Just, they expect me to be at their beck and call any time of the day or night, calling my cell phone and banging on my door. And I finally kind of just got sick of that and ran out of room and moved to this location. And it's just been growing and doing fishing stuff, doing we have a taxidermy drop-off for birds now,
cool.
So that's pretty cool. Byrna pepper ball launchers. Sean Hannity's plugging those like crazy right now, so I cannot keep those on the shelf
really?
Right now. Those have been selling like crazy. It's like this non-lethal pepper ball blaster. Shoots like pepper balls.
Really?
Good hobo deterrent, I guess.
Yeah, you can need that in some parts of the state for sure, yeah.
Yeah. Doing like the Black Rifle Coffee. I know that's like hot right now and cold because all this drama with them.
I haven't heard about that. I know they're kind of cool guys, the military guys. Yeah. I knew they'd do some crazy Instagram videos and stuff.
Super funny, yeah.
Yeah, they seem pretty funny. I heard a podcast with them guys on there.
Mm-hmm. So I've been selling that for like 6 or 7 years. That's probably been my best seller out of anything in the entire store.
Really?
And I've had people come from like Sacramento to Redding to get Black Rifle Coffee.
Really?
It's hilarious. They're
that
just like,
crazy.
Oh, I need this stuff. And so, yeah, hell yeah, we have it.
That's good. Yeah, you sell what you got to sell.
Yep. Mountain Ops, that's another thing that's really hot right now. People getting all healthy and energy. And
yeah.
So sell that stuff. Dabble in like the silver and stuff. Silver coins and silver bullion, gold, a little bit of gold, but not too much of that. But yeah, all kinds of stuff.
I love seeing anybody like you in these small valley towns because I love these valley towns. You know, Durham, Gridley, you know, Live Oak, Yuba City's a little bit blown out of proportion. Marysville, all these cool downtowns when mm-hmm. you know, things were thriving back in the day, and so many of these storefronts are empty.
Yeah.
So for a guy to be able to come in here in 10 years of making this work is awesome, you know.
It's been a challenge, but also it's been fun. We went through the COVID time. That was quite a boom, quite a exciting time to be in business, and a challenge as well, but got through it. Really boomed through that, and now we're dealing with like new regulations and laws and all that bullshit, and that's been hard. It's been very hard. California is always pushing through new laws and stuff, but these the new ones that they're pushing through right now has been a
scary.
Little challenging.
It's downright scary. I mean, all of them are. You know, I remember when they, because Brown vetoed the ammo, or, you know, the ammo background check deal. And I went, well, I know the next governor's not going to veto that because, you know, you already know who it's going to be.
Yeah.
And it just keeps getting worse and worse and just, you know, intruding more and more on our Second Amendment rights. And to go into, I don't remember the name of the bill. Do you? What is it? SB?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. So we should have wrote that down. But the one where they're talking about we're going to have to register every gun we have
the
every single
one.
Year.
Yeah. That, so that's a proposed one right now that's going through the subcommittees, registering each gun you have and registering them each year, and a fee each year on each gun. That really is a challenge for, let's say that does go through, and it's $100 fee a gun. I'm just throwing numbers out there. Yeah. But let's say it's $20 a gun, and somebody has 100 guns. All of a sudden, that's some significant money. Yeah. Even if they're cheap guns, like a $100 gun,
yeah,
but it's a $20 fee on each one of those. All of a sudden, those guys are saying, I don't want all these guns anymore. Exactly. I want to get rid of them. And they're bringing them to me and saying, I want to get rid of all these old crappy guns. Buy them from me. And I'm saying, well, I don't want to buy them because nobody else is going to want them.
Exactly.
All these like dinner guns for these fundraiser dinners, the cheap guns that, it's sweet to win a gun or whatever. But now it's like, oh, no, that they're looking at it as a liability at that point. You're, oh, crap, I'm winning more guns.
And
than
they know exactly
me.
What they're doing. They're not keeping the streets safer. They're not doing any of that. They just don't want us to have guns.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, and it's all on the means of safety, and it's all bullshit.
Yeah. The other one that's just went into effect, they made me record the video recording of anywhere that there's guns, ammo, or paperwork done in a facility. I have to keep on-site storage, video, and sound recording for 1 year, high-definition video recording on-site. And it's just like terabytes and terabytes of video data that I have to store on-site. And the cost on that. And it has to be monitored, and the cost to do that are just extreme. And the other one that's really becoming a huge issue, you talked about the ammo thing. Everyone's getting denied for the ammo background checks. Basically, that comes down to you have to have purchased a gun in the last 6 or 8 years. So you have to have a gun registered in your name at your current address in order
current
to buy
address
ammo.
Current address is huge,
So if you move, all of a sudden you don't have a gun at your current address, you can't buy ammo.
Yep.
But it's not like you have to buy a gun every 5 years. Basically, they started keeping good records six years ago or so.
Yeah.
So if you're in their system with a gun at your current address, then you can buy ammo. So if you don't have that, like let's say you have grandpa's old 30-30 and that's the only gun you have because you're a deer hunter and that's just your sub-discipline, you just can't buy ammo. I get these old timers coming in and they can't buy their...
What do you mean I can't buy ammo? I've had this gun my entire life.
So yeah, that one's a challenge. That one sucks, but the one that's really tough is recently they've really been pushing the fact that it's like before you buy a gun, and I would say 3% of the people would get this thing called a delay and then undetermined. So
yes, yeah. I personally dealt with this. Yes, go ahead.
At the end of your 10 days up, and then it's like, oh, you have a delay. I can't deliver the gun to that person. You have a delay. And then it's 30 days later, they come back with it's undetermined. They don't know if you're a bad guy or a good guy. They also send the person a letter that says, oh, your name might be in connection with a stolen gun. It's like this generic form letter.
Oh, yeah,
they send
I got
everybody.
That letter. I
it
got
scares
that.
The shit out of people. Yeah. And it's just a generic form letter. I had this young girl come in bawling, crying. Like, I've never stolen a gun. I'm like, oh, calm down. It's not. That's not what it says. It says your name may be connected with. It has nothing to do with that. It's just a generic form letter. It has nothing to do with that. It's not you. But they send this to people. So that used to be about 3% of the people would get that.
Yeah, what's it up to now?
It's up to like 30% of the people.
I believe it.
It's just gun control. It's just a delay tactic.
That's all it's doing.
And the bigger corporate stores, so the Sportsman's Warehouse, the Bass Pros, Cabela's, stuff like that, Turner's, these big stores, they just make it a corporate policy. We won't deliver on undetermined.
Yes.
So it's not, and that so that's basically California not saying, it's not saying you can't have a gun. It's just saying undetermined. It's up to the retailer.
Yes.
If they can.
And what retailer, if you're in that position, are you going to say, all right, they don't know about you, but here you go.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, something happens down the road.
They put that liability on the retailer.
Exactly. Yeah. And they know exactly what they're doing.
And then the retailer's not going to say, oh, I'm going to take that liability on and deliver this.
Yeah. So, and I don't blame, you know, that smaller guy. I mean, you know people and this and that. But at the same time, it's like, geez, it's screwing you guys. It's such a backwards tack. And they know what they're doing exactly.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Just gun control.
Yeah, it is.
And, yeah, I mean, it stinks, but. That's
happened to me
tactic.
Last August. I bought an over and under at Duck Days and at Kettles, and the same thing happened to me. I show up all excited. Oh, I'll get the last week in a dove season. I'll get this over and under. No. And I'm like, what?
Yeah. Yep. It's becoming very prevalent. I mean, I've had police officers come back this. It's just.
Yeah, there's no rhyme or reason. The whole moving thing, I dealt with that for an extended period of time with the moving thing. And I'm like, well, they're actually forcing me to, because I guess the best way to get straightened out is buy another gun.
Yeah, and that's an unintended consequence
exactly.
of California.
Exactly, it's like, good. So, you know what? I guess I'll buy it, and that's actually where
I bought
that. It's
been selling a lot of guns, which is hilarious.
I know, I love it, you know. It just, it's so crazy, the backwardness of these laws, and you know, they're not honest is the worst part.
Yeah.
Know? Just say you want to take it from everybody, but they know that, you know, sane people that are voting, nobody likes to see these mass shootings. Nobody likes to see all these carjackings and things. These aren't our guns that are doing this, you know, and it's insane to me that they get away with this stuff, you know, and with the supermajority they have now, we're just at their mercy, you know, so.
Yeah, literally our only hope is voting, and it starts at your local level. Just vote, start locally, and then work your way up. Trump's not going to save us on the big stage. Like, that has so little to do with what's going to affect 100%. Us locally. It starts with the school boards. It starts with really youth shooting sports. That's where it starts. Getting youth shooting sports normalized, getting more people into our culture of shooting, our culture of firearms, our culture of hunting, our sub-disciplines of shooting, and making it normal. And that becomes a larger voting block, and that turns into more voters and normalizing our culture and turns into us having a bigger majority and just
leave us alone, you know. And I agree, because and even the kids that maybe aren't participating in this, I'm sure it's like a football game. They might go and watch this stuff, you know. I don't really, you know, I ain't no good, so I don't want to do it, but they're understanding there's nothing wrong with it. Tommy going and shooting trap doesn't make Tommy a monster.
Yeah.
You know, and so on the broad, that's a great way you described it, is normalizing it. We're not friggin' weirdos because we enjoy these things.
Most of us. Yeah.
Most of us. There's a couple wackos. There always is, you know, but they end up getting dealt with. But it's just make it normal, you know. I mean, when I grew up, I was a little bit past the deer rifle and the shotgun, or the deer rifle and the gun rack at school.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it wasn't that long ago. In the 70s, that stuff was going on.
Yep.
You know, and I hate all this stuff going on with guns, using the things we love wrong too. But this isn't the answer. You
know? Yeah. Yeah. And the other one that's into effect right now is the one gun every 30 days. God, that one's killing me too. I hate that one.
Because you do get a gun nut in here, and you got all these guns. And I got to have that one and that one and that one. Oh, sorry.
Well, I've worked with a lot of the nonprofit, the fundraiser dinners and stuff. And that's why I worked with those. I mean, I love the organizations also, and what they do for different organizations, or what they're fundraising for.
Yeah.
But when somebody wins a gun at one of these organizations, if I'm supplying the gun for that group, somebody wins a gun, they come in to do their paperwork, I say, hey, here's another awesome gun. You might as well add it to the background check, and only pay the background check once, and then only give Gavin Newsom that $37.19 one time, get two guns out of it. And that always resonates with people. They don't want to give Gavin Newsom some extra money. So they end up buying one or two or three or four guns, and now it's just one. And then I have to, a lot of times people do notice another gun in here that they have to have. I have a nice Garand over here right now that I'm shocked is even here. But, yeah, somebody will notice a beautiful gun sitting in here, and they have to have it, so they'll buy it as well. And then I have to set it aside for them for 30 days. And then I got one guy in here right now that's got six guns set aside, so he's 6 months out. So I've got that liability for 6 months. Like, let's say this place burned down or something.
You're right.
Of liability sitting. Yeah.
And that's what they're doing. They're trying to run guys like you out of business, you know. And I mean, as you see, Walmart don't sell guns anymore. Big Five, when away from selling guns.
Yep.
Which, I mean, I'm all supporting small local gun shops like you anyway. I screw the – I shouldn't say that, but, I mean, I kind of mean it. I mean, big box. I want to go and talk somewhere to a regular guy. Then I'm going to come back here, and you're going to know who I am.
Yeah.
So I stay away from them for the most part.
Well, there's levels. I mean, downrange is a great group of guys, honestly. It's a small town store with – they got employees, a lot of employees that are like – they're more like that tactical – kind of a store. But then you got like Triple F up in Paradise. You got Majors Outdoors out in Willows now. Super cool guy. You guys go check them out.
Oh, yeah.
You have like those small town places like that. These places, that's where you should be spending your money. The Sportsman's Warehouse, this is the Turners, the Bass Pros, those guys aren't keeping their money local. That money is disappearing.
No, I agree. So, I mean, you know, like I'm always talking about Kittles. I like them a lot.
Kittles is great,
You know, they've made a pretty big deal, you know, because of where they're at. They're the Stuttgart of California in Calusa, basically. But same way, I agree. Keep it local. Good. I mean, SOS, I've dealt with them before in the past. Mm-hmm. I try to keep it that way. But, like, even better, like, if I come in here buying a gun, you're going to be here.
Yep.
Right?
Usually.
Usually, yeah. You got a couple people might sub for your time, you know. But I agree. Keep it local. I'm all for that. And it's kind of old school. You know, you go into the, you know, like I say, keeping these friggin' little shops open in these little towns. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's my bread and butter here is just like, you want to go see an old gun? There's nowhere that you can find an old gun.
Wait, once we're done recording this, I want you to show me around a little bit. I'm dying to see what you got. I wanted to get some stuff down on tape here first, but I'm dying to go snoop around.
Yeah, old guns just aren't around anymore, and it's a shame, I think. And I love them, so I got
me too.
Old Mill Serp over here. I got some lever guns. I've got old shotguns. I just think that stuff's so
cool.
Yeah,
what's that side by side you got there?
There is
two of them.
Yeah, I got. Can't even see that far. I'm blind now. I'm getting old. 36.
I love old. Yeah. Old. I mean, I'm a mainly shotgun guy because I'm a duck hunter, but rifles too. You know, I got old deer rifle. I hunt when I do play deer hunter. I hunt with a 30-30.
All right.
You know, I do have a scope gun, but it's old school too. An old Game Master pump Remington.
Yeah.
On six.
Wood guns. Wood guns are so. Yeah.
I'm a wood gun guy. You know?
That's so. Me too. I love it. I mean, I have some synthetic guns as well, but.
There's nothing like the stories and, you know.
The art, the hand checkering of stuff.
It's just awesome. It can't be duplicated. And I think, and they shoot when they last. I mean, you get guys shooting 100-year-old guns, killing stuff with them, you know. So, yeah, I know all the, like, the whole, like in deer hunting, the whole, you know, that Creedmoor crowd's like, you're really going to use this thing? Like, fuck yeah, I am, man. Yeah, this is my deer gun.
Still haven't broke down and got a Creedmoor. I've sold a lot of them. And I'll tell people, it's a good gun.
I ain't going to knock it either, but I like the old stuff, man.
I haven't broke down and got a Creedmoor or a Vortex. I just can't do it. I do wear Sitka once in a while, but.
You should have seen me at the friggin' dinner last, because I'm not a Sitka guy. I'm not anti, but I like talking shit. And so I don't own literally nothing Sitka. Mm-hmm. Nothing. Not a big fan of the pattern. Good quality stuff. I ain't saying it ain't. All my buddies hunt with it. But it's just been kind of a thing that I don't do. And somebody thought it'd be funny at the silent auction to write my name in on the camo Sitka vest at the dinner last Saturday night, the Freedom Fighters Banquet. So Chad Holig, everyone's coming, hey, John, you won this. I'm like, what the fuck do you mean I won this? You know? And he's looking at me all crazy, and he wasn't in on the joke. So I don't know what he ended up paying for it. The Left Coast guys, and I think Robert might have pitched in or something. But, yeah, so I had to parade this vest around. But, yeah, it was pretty funny.
That is funny. I've been known to write some names on some
that's
stuff.
It's always fun, man. It's always fun doing it, man.
I've had to pay a couple times for people, and other times they've been good sports and paid also. And.
Well, these freaking jerks, they went to the buy now price of like $200. And I'm like, dude, are you kidding me?
For an extra small Sitka jacket for you, huh?
It would actually fit me, I'll give it. But, I mean, I left the tags on it. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. I'm probably going to donate it back because I'm not wearing it. I'm not a vest wearer to start with, let alone a Sitka vest. But it was a funny joke. So
what's your camo brand then?
I mean, if I'm deer hunting, I'm wearing a red and black flannel. I like a Stormy Cromer, you know, wax cotton hat, and then I got an old wax cotton coat.
Yeah.
If I do have to go camo, I really like solids, to be honest. But if I am going to go camo, I like the Max 4. That was what was the shit when I, you know, was going in. I like that Realtree Max 4 stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah, all my friends always, this is basically my year-round hunting
jeans
and sometimes, yeah, some plaid and a lot of times it's sandals. My friends always call it my killing sandals. So they know it's serious. If I'm wearing sandals, I'm going to kill something. Killed a lot of shit in sandals. I went to Africa. You can see the animals over there. I went to Africa awesome. A couple years ago. Killed a bunch of animals and sandals over there with snakes running around and shit. And
that's cool. I wear Crocs, man. Yeah.
I don't always get a picture of the sandals for my buddies. They'd always say, oh, where are your sandals if I'm wearing boots or something? Like, what the hell's going on? How'd you kill it without your killing sandals on?
That's hilarious, man.
Oh, my family was always known in the local family here. Last name's Pierce. And the alphabet kids were known in this area in Nelson for hunting. Yeah, duck hunting and in their bare feet and shorts all winter,
really?
Breaking ice with their bare feet and,
really?
And that was what our family was known for is like hunting out there in their cut off shorts and bare feet breaking ice killing ducks
it.
And I couldn't do that. They're a little tougher than me.
A little
but,
bit much for me too. Yeah. But bare feet,
yeah,
man,
crazy guys.
That is crazy. Yeah, no, I'm a sandal guy and I'm not really a gear guy in that sense. I got good waders. I don't have Sitkas. I got shin gear, but I'm not much of a camo guy either. And it definitely, you see, like when I go to Mexico duck hunting, it's pretty funny because a lot of guys, they bring all this gear and stuff. I got a backpack. I'm in Crocs and I don't wear shorts anymore because the no-see-ums would eat my legs to death, but I've been just pants and friggin' Crocs and where we're going, you know.
I started getting colder than I used to. So little more layered than I used to, but
there's all kinds of stuff you can get at friggin' Walmart that you can buy for cheap. Mm-hmm. You know, I do like some quality stuff though. I'm kind of a hipster in that sense with my.
This stuff helps with the cold.
Yeah, I don't do a whole lot of that when I'm actually hunting, but once I'm done, it's on.
Yep.
But so tell me how you grew up here in Durham. You know, your family's been here a while, right?
Yep.
You grew up. Like you say, you didn't really grow up hunting, right?
Oh, hunting for sure. I grew up hunting like crazy. Duck hunting, not so much. Yeah. So Pops didn't. He hated duck hunting because he grew up over in M&T, living on the rice farm. They were rice farmers, hunting out of their backyard. And then the lead band came, steel shot, and broke some teeth, and couldn't kill ducks and sailing ducks, and all of a sudden. He wasn't into duck hunting anymore. It ruined him to duck hunting. So he
that is such a common story. We lost. I wish I had the numbers in front of me because I heard a podcast. I think it was on Ramsey Russell's podcast. We lost as a nation when that happened. So many duck hunters that just said, "Fuck it, I'm done."
Yeah, he was a duck killing. They were all duck killers.
Like, and I get it. And it, depending on your age, you know, like the younger guys, are like, "Hey, we're gonna suffer through this, and they're gonna figure it out." And now it's it's awesome. Steel's pretty dang good.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but, yeah, that is a horrible – but in the end of the day, I think it's a good thing, to be honest. I do. I mean, lead was awesome. I shoot it in Mexico when I go down there. But all in all, I mean, I've seen some pictures of some ducks that were eating it, you know, because mallards will dabble it. And it, whether it's good or bad, it's been that way since, the 90s. So, but
– who knows?
Who knows? But, I mean, the bismuth stuff they got now and that TSS, I mean, it's pretty dang good without being toxic. So
yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, so Pops didn't do, he was done with duck hunting.
Duck hunting was not his thing. He wouldn't take us. And so we're like, okay, I think I was, my uncle took us out junior hunting. My pops went up to Almanor. We did the honker hunt, early honker hunt up at Almanor and shot some honkers. God, that was fun.
Yeah.
Big old birds falling out of the sky. Got my first band up there, Banded Honker.
Oh, cool.
I had shot a bunch of honkers all weekend, and my cousin hadn't killed shit. And so last honker of the weekend, and pull that trigger, and it falls down, and he starts jumping up and down. Oh, I killed it. I was like, okay, yeah, okay. And then he goes out there and gets it, and it has a band on it. I was like, son of a bitch. So that was my first band. And I was like, Dad, we should duck hunt more. No, we're not duck hunting. This is not our thing. And so years later, my buddies had a ranch down here, south of town here. And so he's like, hey, if you ever want to go hunting, go ahead. And so we'd go down there, and I was like, holy shit, this is fun. Like, I like duck hunting. So started doing that a little bit, and then started this business and kind of a necessity. You gotta.
So you just got your FFL or whatever, just went and did all the hoops and everything, and was just doing it out of your garage, though.
Yeah, I started in my garage, and
you just did the paperwork. You know what? I really like guns of all sorts, and I'm gonna start. That's because it ain't super easy to get your.
It's not super easy. So yeah, I had another job that I was working, and I had a lot of freedom at that job, and just sitting there behind the computer on the phones, we're doing random crap at that job, and doing the research, figuring out how to get your FFL, going through applications and stuff. And back then it took me probably 9-10 months to get through all the stuff to actually get it all approved and jump through all the hoops and finally got it approved. And I'd actually just run home and deliver guns and do stuff and then run back to work and out of my garage. And that, yeah, duck hunting just became like a thing from that. Like people would invite me out and I'd go and loved it. And got my blind a few years ago, John Owen, Northern Flight.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so super fun just south of town here. I can leave my blind 15 minutes, be to work. So just, I mean, how do you beat that?
No, you can't beat that, man. That's so cool you were able to keep it stay at home, too.
Yeah.
So it took you about 9 months to jump through the hoops.
Yeah, maybe even a little longer than that. Like,
is it? It's probably worse now.
I would imagine.
Yeah. I would just have to guess.
I don't think they let you do it from home anymore. You have to have like a retail spot. And
oh, you're right. You got to have there's mm-hmm. crazy stuff and where you can be and a certain amount from a school. Yep. And man.
Yeah, I don't think they're approving much more anymore. Like it's quite challenging. Federally, I think it's easier. Through the state was the real challenge. Like it took forever to get all your state licenses and permits. And I've had different times where it's like every 2 years, every license and permits do and expires at different times. So it's like,
that's awesome. Yeah.
So you send in the application, they'll give you like 120 days warning on it. So you'll send it in right away and then they'll lose it. Because you send it in too early, or you'll send it in like 30 days or before the time, and then it's like take some 90 days to process it, so you're shut down for 30 days, and it's just like you can't find that happy medium. They can't be happy with like they can't pick a time. One time I sent in the stuff, and they processed everything and sent me back my permit, and then the day came to where it would have expired and they shut me down. I was like, what the heck? So I call them like, what's going on? And they're like, oh, you haven't paid. Like you're this permit or whatever, this license. I don't even remember which one it was.
A million of them. Yeah.
And I was like, bullshit. I'm looking at the permit. You already sent it to me. And they're like, send me a picture of it. So I sent them a picture of it. They're like, I don't know how you got that, but it is not valid.
Oh,
and I was like, what do you mean you don't know how I got this? Like, you sent it to me.
Yeah.
And they're like, so it turned out like they were going to go process it. And as they're walking to send it off, they dropped the check. They lost the check.
Oh, my God.
So they didn't cash the check. And they sent me the new permit. And
I
was like, you idiot. So they graciously let me stay in open until
so
I sent the new check. Yeah, I was like, just at the will.
Yeah, and it takes forever for their checks to cash. So you're thinking, well, I don't know. It's in there. I know DMV's that way. You send a check, and it takes forever to cash.
Yeah.
What a friggin' mess. Man.
Yeah.
So
we just went through a ATF audit, and they're just, oh, my God, the power trips they get on. Like, she went through, like, all the you sign out the guns to each customer, and you put the name, the address of the customer that bought each gun. I have 10,000 customers that I've logged guns out to. So each one, I put the name and the address and the zip code of the customer. So I put all that, but I didn't put CA on each one for California. And she goes, that's 10,000 violations. I could shut you down right now for that. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. Like, I only do business in California.
Yeah, yeah.
The zip code is right there.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, just so you know, it has to be wrote down. I was like, Jesus.
Man.
And that was the federal one, not even the state ones. The state lady, that audit, she stood here. She got here at like 9:30 in the morning, stood there. Didn't leave till 5:30. Never went to the bathroom. Never took a lunch. Never Nothing. Just sat there just thumbing through papers as fast as she could for hours. And didn't, I don't even know if she blinked. Like, just.
And then, like, zero, like, hey, how's it going?
That was a long day.
And I'm assuming they're not putting, for the most part, like, regular folks in these jobs. These are people that probably don't really appreciate what you're doing here.
No.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think they're into killing ducks or looking at guns.
You know,
because
like with the game wardens, you run into a game warden, he's a hunter himself.
Yeah.
You sit there, you tie.
Well, I think they should be at least. So most of the game wardens that I've run into.
Same here. Most of them I've run into, they hunt themselves. Or if
there
they
was
don't,
one around that didn't, and I wasn't a fan.
I heard stories about that guy. But my personal experience is they hunt, they're cool, they make sure you're legit, and you can sit there and you can bullshit mm-hmm. about the shared passion. You got some broad in here
yep.
that hates everything you stand for that can shut you down by it, you do what, like the CA not be there. I mean, what a rough way to make a buck, man.
Yeah.
You must be a glut for punishment, huh?
And then I had a guy, this old-timer, walk in, and he thought he was being funny. He had no idea who this lady
yeah.
was. And he walks and he's like, huh, is this where I buy my suppressors? And I was just like,
oh, like not today, dude.
Not the time for the jokes, bud. And he's like, what?
Probably the only time she ever perked up the whole freaking day, huh? Wow.
I don't even think she knew what that meant, so it doesn't even matter.
That is friggin' crazy, man. I feel for you. And for all you listeners, this is why you buy your guns at small local gun shops like this, because you hear it, and don't bitch about the price. Because the amount of bullshit this guy has to put up with just to have this available. Because if you forget shells and you're from wherever you're from, you can come here and get shells or whatever, you know. So.
And really, the prices are basically the same.
Are they?
But what I tell people is if you value your time, which I would imagine most of your listeners probably value their time. Mm-hmm. Like, I value my time. I think that's the most valuable thing that we have is time.
Yeah, exactly.
If you value your time, you go to Sportsman's Warehouse, you're going to spend an hour and a half sitting there doing paperwork.
Even worse than that.
Yeah. I mean, when you have the fourth guy in line check to make sure that everything,
they have to run it
and call.
When they first started this, because on my route home, the Bass Pro used to be something. They had the guy in an orange vest, it's the ammo guy, and after dealing, I was like, and I've never bought with this new thing at a box store. I'm sorry. You go in to talk to you, or like I say, Kittle's, other local places. I can talk to you guys, and you under, and it's, but there it's like, nope, this or that, and it's like there's zero. I mean, you guys obviously don't break the law,
yeah.
But with them, it's like something. Oh, you know, we got to get a new form. You cross something out, we can't have that. I mean, it was just they're so, and I understand because they could get it from the big corporate people
yeah.
from wherever.
Well, but I think a big part of it is, I would say 60% of those guys there are like power tripping kids that are right out of college. And I'm just like, what is your problem?
Yeah,
but there's a good 40% of the guys that are there that are friends of mine, actually. So
I love it. I've got some of the greatest duck hunting advice from the asshole that's there every weekend. Like, well, I haven't seen you at the refuge, dude. Yeah.
There's funny. Some good guys that
yes,
work
there. There is.
But
it's always
there's
funny,
a group
though.
Of goofballs also. So.
Yes. And like here, you know, you're going to get that. You know, small town service, and I always like that, so that's a good deal. What else you got, man?
You know, the one thing that I want to touch base about is like the high school shooting sports.
Yeah,
man, what a cool thing that is coming up hot. Like,
oh, it's awesome. Yeah,
they're sprouting up all over the place. In Durham here, we started ours a few years back, and we had a kid win state last year.
Oh, really?
At Durham.
That's awesome.
At little old Durham. Isn't that freaking cool?
That is cool.
Wilson took it down.
What are some of the local schools that do? Do you know? I mean, any of the meets? I know.
Orland started it, really. Orland has Anna Cannon out there, has a great foundation for what's really been starting. But I think Gridley Sutter has a big team. It's starting all over California, though. It's really cool. And just What a cool thing for to be in California,
yeah.
That's just blowing up.
Yeah. Well, and where we live isn't. I deal with this all the time. Like people, what, you're from California? Yeah, I am. It's not what you think.
It's different.
It's different here. You know. Yeah, we deal with these oppressive laws, but we're different folks than
yeah.
what you think we are. And it's awesome that they got this going, and it's keeping. And a lot of the people, you know, a lot of people move up from the Bay and stuff, and trust me, I've gave people crap from being from down there and moving up here. they're moving out there to get out of that shit to come up here where we live a lot more normal. You know what I mean? So I think it's good. I think Placer has one.
Yeah.
Because I spend a lot of time south of here.
When they move up here, though, just don't vote the same way.
Just the way all the poor folks in Idaho talk and Texas and everywhere else.
Don't bring your politics with you.
Polluting the rest of the country. You know, come up here and,
But, yeah, we Durham went to Nationals last year, and we had a good, strong showing. Dropped on the second day. The first day, we were in the thick of it in Nationals.
Really? In Nationals.
Pretty impressive.
And then... guess the kids had a little fun. They're a little excited about how well they did that night, and
up a little too late.
Yeah, they did not do as well the second day, but we had a really young team also. So next year or this year, I think we're in the thick of it again. So
what's the season for this?
They're in it right now.
It starts up like like baseball season.
Baseball season. Yep. So trap season is right now, and they're. We just had our fundraiser dinner. We do it down at the elementary steakhouse once a year. We do a little, like a Wednesday night or Thursday night, little fundraiser down there, a little Chipino feed. And one of the old coaches cooks for us, and kind of like an invite only. It's like a little Merlot does a nice little fundraiser, and I help out with it, with the guns and the prizes and stuff, and make some money for the club. And if people want to help out, That's something that if people want to donate to something like that really matters.
And for, we're always talking about the future, and that's these kids are going to be the ones, carrying on our tradition.
Yep. And it's a sub-discipline that the kids might not be duck hunters, but these sub-disciplines it's expanding the culture. It's expanding the voting block. It's expanding, just the culture in general of shooting sports.
Yes.
And if you start subdividing the sub-disciplines, and that's how the politics cancels us, basically. You saw it with like the hound hunting in California.
Exactly.
They pick a little subset
and they're easy
of hunters.
To pick on.
Yeah, because they're small.
Yeah,
so
ban dogs with duck hunting and see how much pushback you get.
but hunters as a whole is a much bigger lobby.
Yes.
But if you chop off the little pieces, the hounds or the bear hunters, or like you pick off like the pig hunters that do like with dogs, or dog hunters in general, you start chopping off all these little blocks. Now the hunting block is much smaller.
Yeah, and there's a whole culture of people not doing it anymore.
Yep. Now we're left with just the duck hunters, and we could be defeated.
Oh, yeah. So, there could be a time they're going to start outlawing you can't use a dog to hunt ducks. Mm-hmm. That's perfectly feasible.
And then how many duck hunters are left after that?
Yeah, there's a lot of people that,
we talked about how many duck hunters got chopped off when I went to steal a shot. Yeah.
So the lead ban. So
it's just a way to keep chopping our
culture. That's what they do. The only thing I'll give them, folks, is they're patient.
Yeah. Long game.
Just like with the lead ban, it was a big deal if you're a hunter. If you're just a target shooter, which there's way more target shooters than there are hunters, you imagine if they outlawed all the lead at that time just for target shooting, and that's why they didn't mess with them yet.
It's going to happen.
It's coming. Yeah. Oh, yeah, and they pick on the shooting ranges constantly. Yep. They're on them constantly about runoff. They're going to do all this
and
crazy
it's
stuff.
Coming to
water.
Fishing as well.
Oh, yeah. And it's not in the name of environmentalism, like they claim. It's the name of taking away our
rights,
our
cultures.
Rights.
It's our culture.
They see us as, shoeless hillbillies, and they don't want this. And they're just slowly doing it a little bit at a time,
boiling the frog slowly.
That's exactly what they're doing, and like I say, it's working, but the pendulum swings every once in a while with the crazy things going on in the cities in the state.
I'm ready for it to swing.
We all are, man. I really hope it's in our lifetime. I tell you, it's just I grew up here. I got Duke Majum was a governor. We lived a pretty normal life. You could probably find some trouble in the city if you wanted to, but all in all, it was a pretty good place to live. And it's getting – I ain't going, though. I'm going to be the last – I love it here. I ain't nowhere.
There's no better geography.
Yep. And I'm going to hold out till I'll register all the guns I need to register.
Yep.
But I ain't going nowhere. Yep. So.
Yeah, if all the good guys, the producers, the guys that pay taxes and make money, all of us leave.
What's going to be left?
Yeah.
Exactly. And companies are leaving in droves. So at some point, somebody's going to say, whoa, 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 all we got left is the takers. All the makers are gone.
Yep.
So you would think, I don't know. I know there's lots of people fighting for it, but gosh, it's tough in this state. So,
well, sorry to make this one about politics the whole time. I don't know.
It really ain't. It's more about culture. You know, I mean, it's, you know, you're a small business that, you know, they're out to get you, and it really ain't. I mean, this is important stuff for us all to care about, and most people listen to this show do. And it's just stuff that has to be talked about because keep it up, you know, guys like you aren't going to be here.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not going to happen. So.
Well, you want to talk about, like, good guns or something? Or?
Yeah, let's go on it. Tell me what you got. What do you got in stock right now? Tell me a cool gun that you have here.
Well, I'll tell you this. I just did my Benelli stocking order, so I got, like, $100,000 worth of Benellis on the way. So
if anybody
wants Benellis, we're going to have a pile of them, like, in a week. So
you got any wood ones coming?
Yeah. I got all kinds of shit coming. So if you want Benellis.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, to be a Benelli dealer, you got to order a pile of Benellis. And so you're like committed to a bunch of Benellis. So yeah, you write your order at the beginning of the year and they just bombard you with them.
Really? Well, that's awesome because I actually am in the market for a new Benelli.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a harder question. Do you have any left-handed ones coming?
Yeah, I think I have a left-handed Franke that's coming, which is just a less expensive Benelli.
Here's a question. Do they still make 20 gauge left-handed Benelli at all?
I believe so. Yeah,
because I couldn't find it on their website. I'd like to get like a. I have a SB3-2, but I want like an M2, 20 gauge, and I don't know if they make that.
You know, so many gun companies make so much crap. It's hard to remember everything that all of them make. I know it's my job, but.
Well, I get it. Now, how many weirdos are left-handed coming here asking for that?
My daughter is.
She's
a weirdo.
It. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you.
That's why
I wish I had never shot a left-handed gun because I was just fine until I knew there was a difference.
That's why that left-handed Franke's on the way.
Yeah, it was never an issue. I just knew I had to reach over for the safety.
Look at that left-handed Super Black Eagle right there.
But in 12-gauge only, right?
Well, there's a 12-gauge. There might be a 20.
I don't know. I'd really like to have a 20. I do like my 2. But a 20-gauge would be awesome. He's got the Benelli book out here snooping through it. That's super cool. So I didn't know you were becoming a Benelli dealer. That's awesome.
Yeah, I've been a Benelli dealer for a few years.
That's good.
Yeah.
So if I were you guys, I'd make a ride up here to get your Benellis instead of in the valley. Yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah, we'll have to look more later.
Yeah.
Probably.
We'll see.
Comes down to it, I can call my rep and see.
Maybe they got an old one sitting on the shelf. But, I mean, I'd be fine with an M2. Basically anything that was a left-handed 20-gauge. I just haven't found it.
I know that Franke is a left-handed 20-gauge. And I got it on the way. I've literally ordered her a left-handed Franke 20-gauge probably 5 times now. And
really?
It gets here, and somebody comes in asking for one, and I sell it to them.
Sorry, daughter.
She's only 9, and it's way too big for her. Yeah, she's tiny. She's like 60 pounds. So it's like it's way in the future for her. But so I keep selling it out from under her. So
Franke's a good gun.
Yeah.
That's what they over and under I bought. I bought actually the woman's model. I forget what they call it. It's marketed to women. What the hell was it? I'll show you a picture of it. Don't look like a woman's gun to me, but I started Googling it after I bought it, and now I got a bunch of flack for that.
The sales guy didn't tell you that, huh?
Oh, no. Well, they're trying to – it's a left-handed over and under just because the – open, you know, whatever they call it, opens left-handed.
Huh.
Cool gun, but don't look like a chick gun to me, but
– Yeah, I just got – Browning just sent me there. So yeah, this time of year all these guns start piling in because it's the stocking dealer time of the year. So Browning just unloaded this new Sweet 16 Wicked Wing that just got here. It's a pretty gun. And they just came out with the new 20 gauge also.
I see.
A5. That. Isn't that cool?
I did hear about that. Yeah. And that is cool.
That one might go home with me if I can find one.
Because I got a couple old A5s. I love them. Wow, yeah.
And then personally, I'm more of a Beretta guy. I shoot the A400. I love it. But it's the Explorer, the wood gun. Love my wood guns. So
the only thing I don't like about them is the safety in the front.
So I was shooting a Remington 870 my whole life.
Yeah.
And the safety's in the back. Yeah. It took me about a year and a half pulling up on birds and pulling, because I'd slide my finger across the back, take that safety off, and then pull the trigger. What the hell's going on here? It's not going off.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, the safety's in the front. And finally used to it, so it took a while.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I, because I shot a Beretta in Mexico this year. Usually it's Benelli's, but the where I went south this year, where I didn't normally do it, was Beretta's.
Yeah.
Great gun. I had a good time with it, but that was a little bit, I just kept the gun away from it and kept the safety off after getting skunked too many times. But no, it was it's definitely a good gun. I always say it's, when it comes to waterfowl, it's the three Bs.
You know,
it's pretty much, you know, if you're really into it, it's going to be a Browning, Beretta, or a Benelli.
Yeah,
you know?
Anything that starts with a B and costs more than $1,000.
Yep. You know, and the other stuff does work fine. The lower end stuff, I know people really like those Winchester SX4s.
The SX4, the Beretta A300, the Franke, those would be the three guns that would be like in that price range that are okay. The other stuff I'd probably kind of stay away from.
To be honest, I would too. I grew up loving Remington. And, you know, I love my old Remington stuff.
Old Remington stuff's okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, and the Mossberg stuff is, I don't know, 500's a pretty ugly gun, but it's very functional, you know.
Yeah, pumps got figured out a long time ago.
Yeah.
They've been around for a long time. Not a lot of moving parts. They last a while. So
yeah.
Pumps are fine. But semi-autos, you kind of... Yeah,
if you're gonna shoot it, you want to go with it. And it, you know, if you're into it, if it's a casual deal, you go twice a year. You know, you might be able to get somewhere in with something cheaper. You know.
Yeah, and dirty guns don't work very well. So
that's Spinelli, man. I clean mine once a year.
And then they're all mechanical devices, also. So sometimes you get a gun that's great. Sometimes you get a gun that has some issues.
You're completely right. I'm a Chevrolet guy.
Ford, Chevy, Dodge, the same thing.
Same way. You know, they always talk about being built on a Friday. You just get one bad.
Yeah.
A good hunting buddy of mine, Mason, we bought SBE2s years and years ago. Mine's been flawless to this day.
Yeah.
His did nothing but have problems. He sent it back to the factory two or three times. Still not. He ended up selling it.
Yeah.
Mine, just been chugging away ever since without any. I put Wolf Springs in it last year. And I wasn't even really having problems. I just did it. I hear that's the thing to do, those Wolf Springs. But I don't know. Been great. At it. Never an issue, you know,
yeah.
Whether it's 7/8, you know, trap loads or, you know, 3.5, which I don't shoot many of them anymore. But
no kidding. Ow. And expensive. Yeah. I get them wholesale and I can't afford that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was a rage for a while. I mean, it's been years since I shot them, you know. I mean, it's...
I shoot those Rios, typically, three-inch twos.
Well, they seem to work.
Get a good deal on them. And
I mean, I don't...
can waste a lot of them. I can miss with those just as well as anything else.
Well, that's just it, you know. I do like, because I shoot a lot of older guns. I have, you know, a couple old A5s. I have a Winchester Model 12, all full choke barrels. And so I do buy some Bismuth Boss for that stuff. It's cool. But even in steel, I'm shooting 2 3/4 most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I'm not a refuge guy. I'm shooting stuff pretty close. Never, you know.
You know, I've never hunted on a refuge.
Really?
Not one time. That is something I've missed out on.
Man, it's something you got to give it a try once in a while.
Something there's to learn. It's there, like yeah. There's a lot of learning to that.
And, I mean, them guys, like, daunting. This year. Yeah, well, this year, Robert, you know, the guy that does his show at me all the time, we should have abandoned the rice a little earlier. We did. We got a spot over a D10, and the dirt birds just never showed up.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know what? We should have probably hit the refuge a little earlier because there are guys getting birds, you know, and it just – the rice is either on or off, you know. And but you're going to deal with a lot of stuff when you go to the refuge. That's a fact.
Well, yeah, it's just the learning curve.
Well, maybe that's a goal. I need to talk to old Jeremy, the Left Coast guy. He'll get you out there. He's a refuge rat. It's something to see and observe. And you know, I mean, there's a lot of birds out there. There's some BS, but it's never quite as bad as everybody makes it. I mean, you have your issues and stuff and run into spots, but I don't know. That's where I grew up hunting. I shouldn't say grew up because I didn't start waterfowl hunting until like my mid-20s because I'm from the hills.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. There's something to be said about it. There's birds there, but
what do you think about the pintail talk? You're hearing about them talking about moving it up to 3?
Talking about it 3. We'll see. I think that'd be awesome. It would change everything.
So I'm just so hesitant. I hear the little blurps about that because what from the insiders and the political side, they're saying, oh, we're talking about moving it to 3, but if the numbers go down to 0, have you heard that part of it?
I haven't heard that part of it.
I know. That's the goal.
Well, yeah, their end goal is to get us to 0.
To 0, yeah. So I'm just like, oh, it's just this little cookie that they're going to hold out and then down to 0. So Kind of terrified about that.
The thing about our pintail population is it's pretty sustainable because most of it's in Alaska. So, like the rest of the country, it's, you know, different. Obviously, we're historically lower than we've ever been. But I think we could easily probably shoot three.
I'm in a rice blind, so it's just like...
You know, I'm the same story. Oof. You know what I mean? It's just you're picking out the... You know, you get picky, you know?
Yep.
I'm just taking a fat Drake that looks like a CWA logo landing when you shoot it, you know? But you're right. It could be... I don't think it's going to have any effect on numbers, though. I mean, they say hunter harvest is like nothing when it comes to population. So.
Yeah.
Even if two, I'd be happy with two. This one thing we've had, how long has it been now? It's been a while.
Yeah.
But I missed the day of the two. And I mean, you get, you know, if it was three, you get to that seven a lot sooner. You know what I mean?
Or at least two a day.
Yeah, exactly.
Or three a day.
Well, exactly. Like last year, those days where you go out, we shoot our sprig, go home.
Yeah.
Well, being out. A lot nicer going home with two fat sprigs than one fat sprig.
Yep.
So, or and even three. You go, I got three sprig and I'm gone, you know.
Yep.
And from everything, I listen to a lot of podcasts, I research. We had, you know, Birdieologist was on here last week, just hearing him talk. It's like 7-1 or something with drakes versus hens.
Oh, why don't they just say drakes or just leave the hens?
Yeah, you know, I think if they do the three, they're saying one hen.
Yeah,
and I mean, all of us try. I mean, everybody I know, we try not to shoot hens anyway. And so those hens just take a beating on the breeding grounds because there's seven of them guys. So per one, so you know, shoot all the drakes you can, and it will probably actually help the population.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see what happens. I mean, we're all itching, wanting to know, but that would change everything. You know, for these guides and everybody else, you know, and make life a lot easier on a lot of people. You know, but. You must have some fairly well-known people roll through here, being where you're at. Some of the best duck hunting's right out here, you know?
Yeah, it's awesome.
You don't got to name names or anything, but I'm saying you've already got some fairly well-known folks roll through here you talk to, huh?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, that is cool, you know? I think that's cool, you know?
I've thought about doing like a little, like, you know, at the restaurants have like pictures of people that they sign their picture.
Yeah, what do you have? Football players, famous hunters, and things like that.
Got to go to a Sweet Niner game this last year.
Oh, cool.
Got to sit in the family section. That was pretty awesome.
Wow, that's awesome, man. That stuff's cool. I'm glad to see, you know, big-time folks supporting, you know, what you're doing here. That's awesome, you know? So, I don't know. Support your local gun shops, guys. I agree. So, I think that's about it. We're, what? Yeah, we're a little over an hour where we like to be. And I'm dying to go look at some of these guns. So, we will talk to you next week. Don't forget to rate and review and follow your Durham Guns on Instagram, Facebook, right?
Heck yeah.
Anywhere else? You got anything else?
That's all I can keep up on.
All you got. Well, I agree. But, yeah, give them a follow on either or. We're not much of Facebook people, but we do have one, so... Be sure to check him out. Awesome guy. Come up here, buy some guns, buy some shells, come say hi. And be sure to rate and review on iTunes, and we'll talk to you soon next week. Hopefully we can get Robert back in here pretty damn soon. So, all right. Thank you, guys. Bye.